Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Hallelujah. It's a great day to be alive. Amen. It's a great day to be alive. Amen. Is it a great day to be alive? I believe it's a great day to be alive. I was wondering about the ladies' night, and you don't want to miss ladies' night if you're a lady, but my wife said that God is going to be there. Can Father God go to ladies' night, though? Or does only the mother heart of God show up? I don't know. It's ladies' night. I know the Father shows up. And see, we get Jesus, too. Ladies are stuck with the mother heart of God and the Holy Ghost. You feeling okay? I'm enjoying the presence of Jesus. I'd like to welcome back into our midst. The Delgados are here. Stand if you would. Give them a big God bless you. They got married a couple weeks ago. Went on a world tour. They came back brown. Apparently they saw the sun. Where'd you guys go? Mexico? Yeah? Hallelujah. Cozumel. Excellent. What'd you guys do there? Oh, you went to a resort or something, right? Ate at a restaurant. It's a good place to eat if you're going to eat. We went to a little. Bless them real good. Woo! Welcome back. Had a fun wedding, yeah? It was a fun wedding for us. I don't know how long you guys had to sit on the beach. I was waiting for the groom in the building, so thankful I didn't have to roast out under the sun. I saw some things that were a little shocking before the wedding. I'm not going to share them publicly. But just intercede for the couple. That's all you need to know. It's a great day, though. My wife's back in town. My wife was gone all week. And every time I go in the bathroom, my toothbrush is sitting there by itself in the little toothbrush holder. I was like, oh, this is so sad. I need my wife home. And the other night she came home, and there's two toothbrushes in the toothbrush holder. And I was pretty happy about that. Additionally, my kids got a full dinner. So that was good. We had pizza one night, and another night we went to Chili's, and one morning we went to breakfast, or I was driving them to school, and the kids were like, oh, we don't have lunch. I was like, oh, yeah, mom does that, doesn't she? Let's get those lunch tickets. Hot lunch today. Glory to Jesus. Praise God they don't homeschool, or it would be spring break. See, again, when you get no money, spring break till then. Thank you, Jesus. Well, anyway, as Ron shared, I had a prophetic word for the house last week. And who has seen this manifest in their life this week? I have. It's been wild, absolutely wild. The testimonies I've gotten via email and the phone calls and the personal testimonies I have built has been fairly exciting. But we're going to continue in that path, and we're going to continue in our House of Hope series. Because Jesus spoke to us that this is supposed to be a house of hope. It's funny how controversial hope is. You know, we have a hope in Christ. But a lot of people want us to think that there's a hope of Christ and then just let us know there's more fear than hope. And we have far more to be worried about than hopeful of. I'm more hopeful than fearful. How about you? I'm more hopeful than fearful. If I have to be honest with you, I'm not really fearful at all. I'm sober-minded in that... men and women of God who are greater than I, know more word than I, have stronger, better preachers, have a greater track record with Jesus, have fallen. And so that keeps me sober-minded. How about you? Because I really don't want to fall. I really don't. I don't know about you. I really, really don't. I'm stumbling more often than I like, but I would sure like to continue down this path of faith. Wouldn't you? Yeah. You know, you figure it took you so long to get here. You know, and then one day you're like, oh, I blew that. You know, it's easier. I find it easier to stay here than get back here. Right? We start thinking about, you know, how hard things are right now and what difficulties you're going through. But I have found that if we look at the difficulties we're going through right now and compare it to the difficulties we were going through before we knew Christ, We just got to look through these things at the right perspective. We were having devotions last night in my living room with my kids and my wife, who was back in town, thank you, Jesus. Had a full belly because I had a full meal. It was more than just meat and potatoes. I was very happy there was even some green stuff on the table and had some sides. It was really great. And dessert, thank you, Jesus. But as we're sitting devotions, you know, we were talking about this, and my kids don't have a perspective on Christianity that I do. Mike, can I get a little monitor? Because I don't have any currently. They don't have a perspective that I do because, I like many of you here, I didn't grow up in church. I didn't grow up knowing Jesus. I grew up a heathen. I grew up a really good heathen. I grew up just one of the best heathens I knew. And I don't mean that I was a good person who was a heathen. I mean, I was really good at being a heathen. Like many of you who are laughing really loud, because you know what I'm talking about. And it's easy, you know, I have a vision for my life, like you do. And I believe God has a call on my life, as you do. It's easy for me sometimes to look so far ahead at what I believe God has for me that I forget what's behind me. And I know the gospel tells us to forget those things which are behind and press on to the high call. Yes, but I don't look back longingly, but it's important to look back and see how far we've come. Otherwise, all we do is we look forward to that goal that's ahead. And if I could be honest, the ultimate goal, we don't get this side of eternity. I understand that the expression, "Oh, heaven is here now." I get that. We talk about expanding the kingdom, and we talk about spreading the kingdom. We get that. However, there's part of this payoff that only happens on the other side. I mean, now we see him dimly as through a glass, but in that day, what? Face to face. And so there is a goal that is truly unattainable here on earth. And so if we look at what we really long for in our hearts, we can begin to get discouraged that we're not laying hold of it right now. It's possible to get discouraged and say, man, you know, I just messed up again. I was walking good for so long and I felt so good about myself. And now, have I really gotten anywhere? Or you know, you thought something was going to work out and it doesn't work out. And you just get so disappointed. And you're like, what's the point of even hoping? What's the point of trying? What's the point of all this, you know, Bible reading and going to church and trying to do the right things? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, what's the point? I'm not laying hold. And then in those times, I have to remind myself of what God has done in my life. And I just turn to look back and I think of the things I was worried about then are very different than the things I'm worried about now. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? These days, the things that I really get weighed down in my heart are not, it's me wanting to attain everything God has for me. Right? My disappointments come in, man, I'm not getting the fullness of God now. Right? I'm not getting all the breakthrough I know God has for me right now. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you get discouraged because you think things are going to be so great and they're not so great yet. And if I look back on my life and the things I was worried about before Christ, I mean, I used to stay awake. I'm just going to be real for a second. I used to stay awake at night worrying about when I was going to jail. That was my perspective. My perspective was, would I be shot this month? These are the things that I used to think about. The things that I used to worry about are very different now than the things I worried about back then. Maybe you just grew up in church and you just been so good your whole life. That's not my testimony. I'm just a guy who was living wicked and Jesus saved my life. I didn't get to go to seminary and all. I'm just a guy that Jesus transformed. And I was sitting in bed and I was thinking, I watch these jail shows all the time. I have no idea why I watch Lock Up, Raw, blah, blah. I don't know why I watch them all. But I was sitting there in bed one day and that old memory came back. I'm watching Lock Up and I'm just like, man, I just pray for those prisoners all the time. Like, Jesus, help these people. Nobody deserves to live like this. I don't care what you did. Nobody deserves to live like this. But I'm looking at them, and I just said out loud, for the very first time in my life, I said, I'm never going to jail. Now, to you, that's like, of course we're not going to jail. That's not my reality. I did not grow up expecting to never go to jail. I never grew up just thinking, I'm not going to jail. I just thought like, I wonder what that's going to be like. I hope it never happens. I wonder if I can run long enough that they never catch me. That was my reality. That was my reality. And so today, the things I worry about, like, man, Lord, is this going to be a worldwide movement or are we only going to take over America? These are the things I worry about now. And I get vexed, like, why isn't it happening quick enough? And I had a very different perspective back in the day. You know, who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? These were questions I had no answer for. You know, I was trying to figure out who I was and through pop culture and figuring out my different influences and doing it on my own. And that's who I used to be. And I don't have those questions now. And if I don't look back at where I come from, I can just look up and say, oh, I never lay a hold of what God has for me. But if I look at where I'm at right now relative to where I was, you know, sometimes the testimony is, I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm still alive, and I'm still gainfully employed, and I have friends. Like, this is a good life. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes, can I just get raw for a second? Sometimes, can I get a little bit more monitor, Mike? Sometimes, I look at my life, and you can look at it and say, man, I had these great friends, and I've lost friends. Sometimes I look at my life, and I say, those people aren't my life anymore. And all the drama that came with them. I know as a pastor, I'm not supposed to say that. But you know, love is still being perfected in me. I don't know about you. It's still being. I know that you grew up just loving everybody, but you know, I still struggle at times. And sometimes I think, man, I like those people, but they are more trouble than they're worth. And just my testimony is, I don't put up with their trouble anymore. Hallelujah. And so, I'm thankful that. Excuse me. I'm thankful that God gives vision in this house. I'm thankful that that we have a hope that we're going somewhere. But at the same point, I'm just thankful that I went somewhere already. I read the other day someone said, you know, I don't mind growing older as long as I'm still growing, and that's how I feel. You know, I'm older than many of the people in the room, and I look at now, I'm like, I don't want to. I no longer am just trying to survive as a person. My life is not about survival any longer. I've moved on from survival to, I want to leave a mark on this earth. When I leave, I want there to be people to say, this world is different because he lived here. Don't you? I want that to be a good thing. You know? I want people to carry my legacy forward, don't you? And I believe that's what we're called for. I believe we're called to advance the kingdom, you know, just move things forward. And I believe that's a call in all our lives. But if we don't look at what we've done in perspective, it's easy to be discouraged and stop moving the ball forward. It's easy to say, well, what's the point? Because you get to a place. It's kind of like working out, as I've been told. You know, when you start, let's say not something I know about particularly, but let's say when you start, you're a little overweight, right? Nobody in this room, you're a little overweight, and you go to the gym and you start eating right, and what happens? You instantly what? Start dropping all kind of weight. You see all these amazing, well, after you stop being very, very sore, you know, because when you first start working out, all you get is sore, right? Like, you feel like I'm gonna get in shape today. And so you work out like 4 hours, and then it takes like 2 weeks to recover. Like, don't touch my legs. It was leg day. What, right here? Right there? And so, but after a while, you start dropping all kind of weight, right? And then after a while, you plateau, don't you? You start to plateau, and you start feeling like, man, I used to drop 5 pounds a week, and now, you know, it's been like a half a pound. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, you know, you can't drop 5 pounds a week forever. That's a problem. Because what happens is you're no longer losing fat at the rate you were because you've lost so much, you're starting to gain muscle. And muscle starts to weigh more, right? It's like that in the kingdom, that when we get saved, one drop of grace will completely change your life. When you are completely wicked, you know, people say, oh, those people, they're so wicked, man, they need a lot of grace. Like, no, just one drop would change everything because they have none. Just one drop of God's favor would completely change their life. But there comes a time in your walk where you've been walking with Jesus a while, and you've established a kingdom lifestyle. Now, all of a sudden, you don't see the gains that you saw before. Why is that? Well, because, you know, if you continue driving out sin in your life, at some point, there isn't as much sin to drive out. And now, instead of just getting rid of the bad stuff, you're actually gaining the good stuff, like muscle. And like muscle, it doesn't come on as quickly as fat, unfortunately. Could you imagine if it did? Can you imagine if it did? Can you imagine if you just worked out as much as you ate poorly for like 2 months, and you what would happen to your body? Your thick neck and these big, you know, just like, but it doesn't work that way, does it? No, it takes a while to build the spiritual muscle. And so if we continue to focus on the gains we had early on, we get discouraged. Like, oh, I saw this really fast stuff. Well, we need to look back and say, instead of saying, why am I not continuing growing as quickly as I was? I like to just look back and say, well, thank you, Jesus, for that season of quick growth. Thank you, Jesus, for that season of quick. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave me that season that I know you're working in my life. It's easy to forget when you encountered his goodness and when you encounter his anointing and when he comes in and invades your life. It's easy to forget how much you changed right there at the beginning. It's easy to take for granted, especially if you've been saved for a while, and you've been ministry for a while, and you've been walking with Jesus for a while, and you've been maybe a director here, and you show up early, and you stay late, and you start to have an entire circle of friends who are saved, and none of your friends are dealing with the drama that you used to deal with. Now, all of a sudden, your reality has changed. Now, all of a sudden, you instead of comparing your goodness now to where you were, you compare your life to other Christians around you. And this comparison is deadly. Because all you tend to notice when you just look at comparison with other people is, all you tend to notice is what they have and you don't. Rarely do you compare yourselves to other believers and say, wow, they're dealing with that, but I'm not. Ha ha, because that's pride. But what we do is we say, man, look what they got and I didn't. And this covetousness is an equal hope-defying sin. It's a hope-destroying sin. Coveting what someone else has that you don't have just begins to destroy hope. Ah, look at this guy. He's saved about as long as I am, and he's traveling the world preaching, and here I am. Well, was that encouraging to you? Was that helpful at all? No. You don't know nothing about that person. You don't know what their life is. You don't know what they deal with at home. You don't know what spiritual heritage they come from. You don't know what inheritance they had. You don't know. But we compare ourselves in the worst possible light all the time, and it doesn't help. You know, we look at people who have what we want, and we say, how'd they get it and I don't? That's not helpful. What I like to look at myself and say, I'm so thankful that I am still saved. Praise God. I didn't grow up good. I am very thankful to be saved. That's real to me, just being saved. And not only that, I remember when I got saved, and I don't want to get too graphic here because my kids are in the room. I had a friend, and she wasn't saved, and Jesus, that was God, he delivered me. Hallelujah. And I remember riding in a car. I'm just gonna be honest. I was riding in a car with a guy who was about my age, and he was married, and his wife was singing a worship song, and to me, I was just like, wow, that's like a Christian marriage. I'd never, you know, I didn't grow up in church. And to me, I was just like, oh my gosh, he has a woman who like loves God. That is amazing. Like, I wonder if that could even happen to me. I wonder if that could even happen to me. It happened to me. I have a wife who loves God. And to me, that seemed like such an unattainable, like, oh my gosh, if I could actually marry somebody who loves God, is that possible that I would have a Christian family? And today I'm like, man, I'm trying to multiply Christian families. You know what I mean? Like, that's how, amen, amen. Give it up. That's good. My goal is no longer like, can I actually live in a Christian home? Like, is that, like, to me, that's a given now. And I could be discouraged that I'm not seeing families multiply quick enough. It's time that, well, we've got, you know, enough pregos here, but so we're working on it. We're working on it in Jesus' name. And I believe it's the lemon water that is getting people, there's two of them out here. There's two drink things out here. It's a lemon water, I believe. So you got to catch it on the right day if that's what you're going for. Or not. You might want to avoid it. I don't know. A lot of husbands garden that after. What's that? Well, here we go. But my whole expectation has shifted. And instead of being thankful that God answered that little prayer, that little nothing prayer, I can focus on where I'm supposed to take that from here and all of a sudden get discouraged. Does that make sense? All right. Well, I hope you're getting this. So what does that have to do with us? Well, God has called us to be a house of hope. And that's not just us as a church, but that's everybody in the church here. We individually are called to spread this hope that we have in Christ. Now, there's a lot of ways that people talk about this, and people, they begin to stamp this as evangelism, and all of a sudden it becomes very confrontational and very religious and very judgmental. And do me a favor. If you tell people about our wonderful, loving Jesus by telling people all the rules they broke and why they should go to hell, just don't give an invitation to our church, please. Just it's not how you make friends, by telling people how terrible they are. He's the God of all hope. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? He is the God of all hope. And if you're going to pull out the old covenant to show people why they should go to hell, like, flip to the back of the book. There's so much more good stuff to talk about. Right? I'm not going to go there. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. Are you ready for this? The Bible says, that's an interesting thought. We're going to read the last sentence here. The Son of God appeared for this purpose to destroy the works of the devil. The Son of God appeared for this purpose to destroy the works of the devil. The Son of God appeared for this to destroy the works of the devil. To do what with them? Let me hear it again. What is he going to do with them? He came to destroy the works of the devil. Now, the only thing I study about the enemy is to find out what he does so I know Jesus wants to destroy it. My wife was recently given a book. I probably shouldn't talk about this, but I can't control myself sometimes. Someone handed her a book and told her that she should read it. I don't know. He didn't actually tell her that. He was just handing them out, right? And his book was about, what was it? Do you remember the title? It was about the snares of the devil. Does the devil already have you? You know, learn about the traps that the devil already has, the web that the devil already has you ensnared in. I was like, well, that doesn't sound encouraging. It's a big old book about the devil. And I'm like, I don't want to read a book about the devil. Well, we're not supposed to be ignorant of the devil's devices. Yes. So I study Jesus, and anything that I see that happens outside of the will of Jesus, I just say, that must be the enemy. Well, don't we have to study this? Well, no. Jesus is going to destroy it, not me. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And so I have to find out, what is my part to play in this? Are you following me here? What is my part to play in Jesus' destroying the works of the devil? Now, I just talked about part of this. When I stare at what I don't have, then the work of the enemy begins to manifest in my life. This discouragement is not from God. Despair, not from God. Depression, not from God. Thank you. Sickness, not from God. Hopelessness, not from God. None of this is from God. And so I know if this begins to well up in my heart, have I partnered with God in all this, or am I partnering with something else? Well, it could be the enemy, it could be soulishness, but I don't really care because I'm not out to fight the devil, I'm out to partner with God. And so what do? Well, I meditate on what God has done. I meditate on the testimony. Just to put it in layman's terms, I think about the good things that God did in my life. And what I found is when I get a little bit hopeless and when I get a little discouraged, and it happens to me just like it does to you, it happens to everybody because I'm a person. And I'm me. What I have found is whatever you're dealing with is what everybody deals with. You meet the most spiritual Christians out there, the big name preachers, and I've met some big name preachers. I've met some big name. They all deal with the same stuff you deal with. And we've had big name people come here, and they've said, yeah, I know all the big name. They really know all the big name people. And they're like, they deal with the same stuff you deal with. You're like, oh, that's terrible. No, that's hopeful that you're going to make it just like they did. Are you with me? They deal with hopelessness. They deal with, you know, struggle in their mind with purity, and they deal with anger, and they just deal with it a little better. But they deal with it just like you do. And so what I find is when these things start to get on me, I was doing that even this week, lonely, abandoned by my spouse, forsaken and forlorn. I just began to focus on thankfulness. I just, out with my mouth, hear me, with my mouth, I began to thank God for everything good in my life. And it's easy. I didn't get outside of my family for the first 5 minutes. I just began to thank God for my kids and thank God for my spouse. And I began to thank God for you guys. And I began to thank God specifically for the people in this room who are in my life. And I began to thank God for this room. And I thank God for the open doors. And I thank God for the Holy Ghost. And that just took a while. Thanking Him for His Spirit and what He's done for me and how He's delivered me and all. And I just began to thank Him for the things that He's done in my life that He's delivered me from and the times that I really could have been dead and I'm not. Thank you, Jesus. And I thank Him for, I just began to thank with my mouth. And when I found that as I began to focus on these good things, I wasn't thinking of the bad things. This isn't some sort of self-help stuff. The self-help people didn't invent this. Self-help people learn that God is in this, and they preach it, but they don't give glory to God, and it works. You read self-help books, and they're all based on biblical principles. Why? Because it works. When you cultivate a heart of thankfulness, then depression goes away. Why? Because that's the way God invented it. If I jump off of this thing right now, I'm going to hit the floor. And it doesn't matter if I give glory to Zeus or the magic magnet in the earth. God invented it this way, so it's going to work, even if you don't give God glory for it. And so this power of praise, this power of thankfulness, this cultivating a heart of thankfulness, it stirs up in your heart a hope and gratitude. And it works, and it changes your life, and it changes the lives of the people around you. Hear me. He came to destroy the works of the devil. John 10:10 tells us that the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his job. That's all he could do, is steal, kill, and destroy. That's it. So when I see things being stolen, being killed, being destroyed, I know that's the work of the enemy. And it's, since I partner with God, it's my job to destroy those things. And that root today is hopelessness that we're destroying. Now listen, as a house, we're in a season of restoration. I've seen it. I've seen it happen in my life. I've seen it as we've released these prophetic words happen in other people's lives. I want you to know that what the enemy has destroyed in your life, God wants to restore it. And more than He wants to, He will. He will restore it. And I believe He's restoring callings. And more importantly, He's restoring passion. And I believe the passion is the thing the enemy comes after, because it's passion that unlocks your calling. And the enemy comes after your passion. He just wants you to cool down a little bit. If he can get you to cool down a little bit, then all of a sudden you don't press forward to the high call of Christ Jesus. And so you settle for the medium call or the low call. But we're called to the high call, amen? You are called to the high call, amen? You have a high call on your life. Say it. I have a high call on my life. You do. You have a high call on your life. And the enemy wants you to think about everything that you haven't gotten instead of thinking about the high call that's on your life. Because you do, and the enemy knows it. He knows you have a high call. And so he wants to steal, kill, and destroy to try to neuter you and keep you from coming into that high call. But he's restoring these passions. He's restoring call, and he's restoring favor. I didn't know that Ron had this testimony he was going to share today, but I just believe in my heart, and I just knew that God had revealed to me that he's restoring favor in people's lives. And we get discouraged, and we disqualify ourselves from this favor. But I just believe if you look for it, if you look for that favor, you look for that passion, you look for that calling, you look for those open doors, you look for confirmation to what he's going to do in your life, you'll begin to see it more and more and more. The more you look for those open doors, the more you'll find them. The more you believe they're not coming, I find they don't come. But the more you go out with an expectation, you say, no, you know what? God has done so many amazing things in my life. Get that past. You drag it into the future. I'm just looking for him to do it again. And the more you look for it, the more you see it. The more it manifests, the more you're able to go through that little door, that little still small voice that says, "Just why don't you just go look over there? Why don't you just go talk to that person? Why don't you just go ahead and strike up a conversation?" The more you're looking for these open doors, the more you're able to see them, because they're not always shining and wide open and calling you, "Hey, come on over here." Sometimes it's a little thought. Sometimes it's just a little leading. Sometimes it's just a, "Man, I'm stuck here. Why am I stuck here? Maybe God has a purpose for me here." You see, many of you are stuck in like the waiting room of God. Have you noticed? Have you noticed that you're just stuck in this waiting room and you're like, why aren't things happening in my life? Is that anybody else? But sometimes we're stuck in this waiting room and we don't ask, what am I supposed to be doing here, God? What am I supposed to be doing in this season? What is my calling in this season in the waiting room? What's my divine appointment right here, right now? What's keeping me from going into that next season? I want you to know that you are in the favorable year of the Lord. Amen. Jesus said it here in Luke 4. He opened the scrolls and he opened Isaiah. You know the scripture. And Jesus proclaimed, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to proclaim the gospel to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. What if Jesus is proclaiming over you right now the favorable year of the Lord? What if he's declaring that over you right now? And yet, in return, you're saying, things never work out for me. Man, I don't have what other people have. If only I had what they had, then I'd be able to get ahead. Man, I don't have the same favor they have. Things aren't as good to me as they are to them. What if instead you said, this is the word over this year, over my life? And I'm not saying this as just some sort of self-help. I believe the Lord is on this. I believe he's restoring favor over so many people's lives in so many ways. I just believe that right now the Spirit of God right now is encouraging you to hope in areas that it was hard to hope in. That he's encouraging you to, hey, try again. Strike out again. Dare to believe again. The most dangerous thing that can happen to a believer is when your faith gets jaded. You ever believe somebody and they were just wrong? You ever believe a pastor or a preacher and they just were wrong? Is it just me? I believed me sometimes and I was wrong. And I was discouraged. Thought this was going to work out. Even told people it was going to work out. And it didn't work out. And the enemy comes at you to get you discouraged. And you just stop hoping. You know how difficult it is? You know, it's easy to judge people who have kind of fallen away from church. And I believe you need a community to get to where God has called you. Period. And there's no easier way to get plugged into community than join a church. Because that's the way he designed it. I mean, you can go out on the streets and hold up a sign and say, I need some believer friends who will encourage me weekly. You can't. I find it easier just to go to church and get involved in some people's lives. That's what I have found. But it's easy when church kind of implodes. It's easy to just say, you know what? I'm going to protect myself from this. I'm going to protect myself from that. I'm going to keep it at arm's length. And the hardest people to minister to are the people who have been hurt by church, who want to keep every believer at arm's length for fear of disappointment again, right? And we talked last week, the only way to protect yourself from disappointment is to kill hope. That's it. That's the only way. The only way you can protect yourself from disappointment is just stop hoping. And that's exactly what the enemy wants for you. It's exactly what the enemy wants. Just stop hoping, then you won't be disappointed. Of course, you don't get breakthrough. Of course, you don't come into the calling. Of course, you don't see God's miraculous works in your life. But, you know, you're not disappointed at least. But I don't know about you. I want a higher call than to say I wasn't disappointed the last 20 years of my life. I want to go to the grave with a little bit more than saying, well, nobody got over on me. Are you with me? It's easy. It's easy to fall into that trap, but that's not going to happen to you. God is putting people in your life that you can trust. Maybe you don't trust as widely for a season as you did. But he'll put people in your life that you can trust, but you have to be willing to walk through that door. Why? Because he wants you to believe that you are entering in the year of the Lord's favor. Amen? Okay, so I say all that to get to here. Are you ready? Now we're going to bring this in now. Now I have a point. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, yes? He dwells in us. Isn't that amazing? I began to talk to him about that last night. Like, what is that like, living in me? Is it bad? Are you disappointed at times? Did you think it would be better than this, living in me? Like, did you have higher hopes? Like, these are things I think about. Have you ever thought about that? Holy Spirit, you live in me. Do you regret that decision at all? You ever think that about your marriage? I wonder if she had higher hopes for this point of our marriage than she has right now. I think these things. Why do I think these things? I'm like, well, because I want to be a better husband. I mean, I don't know about you, but I conclude, no, it's probably awesome, you know. No, but I really think this way, do you? Like, man, God put me in these people's lives. I wonder if they thought it would be better than this. How can I meet those expectations? And so I say, you know, God, you came into me for a reason. Am I laying hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me? Is that happening in my life? Or do I need to up my game a little bit to meet those expectations? You know, it's funny how we're easily offended by them. But we rarely think about how they're offended by us. And we often want people to change because of what they did to offend us. But we rarely say, wow, I need to do something about how I've offended these people. I rarely hear people come to me with those, oh, Pastor, can you just pray for me? Sure, what's wrong? Well, there's a whole lot of people who don't like me, and I just want to make it right. I don't hear that a lot. I hear a lot, you know, there's a lot of people who hurt me, and it's hard for me to forgive. This isn't a downer. What I'm saying is sometimes our perspective is just off. Are you with me here? Are you following? Are you tracking with me at all? Am I making any sense? If you're not understanding what I'm saying, just listen to last week's message. It was really good. Act like I preached it this week again, and you'll just be encouraged this week, okay? Okay, now listen. Holy Spirit lives in us, right? Now, Revelation 12:11 is very important for the season of your life. Write this down, mark it, and I want you to study on this, all right? Revelation 12:11 says this. It says, you know the scripture. And they overcame the enemy, they overcame him, because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They didn't love their lives even unto death. Listen, they overcame with two things. What was it? Okay, most of you got that. Let's try it again. They overcame with two things. Number one, blood of the Lamb. That's Jesus Christ, our Savior, who was crucified for us, who was sacrificed for our benefit. We couldn't come into God's presence. We needed the perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ. He came, born of a virgin, was murdered. They put him on a cross. He died. His blood came down. And the blood is what washed us clean. He didn't stay dead. He came back from the dead. He took captivity captive, went up to heaven. Now he's praying for us. That blood that he's ministering in heaven, the Bible says, is what sets us free. Amen? Are you happy about that? I'm very happy about that. But that's not all we come overcome the enemy by. Interesting. His work is perfect. However, it says there's a little bit more necessary. I don't know how that works, but it does. It's the blood of the Lamb. Number two. Number one. Number two. Now, a lot of people in this day and age are focused on the grace of God. And the grace is amazing, and I'm thankful for it. Hallelujah. He is risen. However, we have a part to play in this, all right? I'm not focusing on what the consequences are of me not doing things right. That's where some people who get a little off balance, where they miss it. I'm not focused on punishment in hell. I'm not focused on who goes to hell and who doesn't go to hell. That's not my job to determine that. The Bible tells me, do not judge who will ascend and who will descend. So you know who's going to hell? I don't. Jesus knows. It's not my job to tell people who's going to hell and who's not. He didn't give me a judge's robe and say, I'm going to be sitting on the judgment seat. That's not my job. Thank you, Jesus. And it's not your job to tell people who's going to hell and who's not. But what he told us to do is to preach repentance. We're called to be preachers of righteousness, to tell people that they need to repent and turn to God. What do they need to repent for? Because they're terrible? No, because God is amazing. You need to turn toward him. Are you with me? Is anybody here with me? And so I think, I don't know about you, but when I met Jesus, I think everybody should. On 1 to 10, 10, everybody should. 10 out of 10, people should turn to Jesus. Yeah? Are you with me? 10 out of 10 should turn to Jesus. I am absolutely convinced people should turn. Even, hear this, and I'm not saying this. Even if you didn't go to hell for not believing in him, you still should. Because it's that good. The benefit is that good. You should. Even if there was no afterlife, even if there was no heaven to gain and hell to shun, even if we did not need a sacrifice, even if there was no judgment on the other side, even if there were no demons wanting people to turn away from him, even if, he's still worth turning toward. 10 out of 10, you should. Absolutely should. Absolutely should. It's a better life. If you're not serving him and living for him now, you absolutely should. It's such a better life. Right? Having power over the things around you is a way better life than having demons control your life. It's a way better life. 10 out of 10 should follow Jesus, right? Absolutely, Absolutely. Absolutely. And so when I look back on my life, the testimony that I have of who Jesus is in my life, how do you overcome him? Well, he died on a cross. It's all done. Okay, that's great. It's all done. Yes. Are you overcoming the enemy? It's all done. Really? Then why aren't you nicer to your wife? Is that God causing you to be angry? No. Who is it? Is it you? Have you overcome the enemy in your life? Because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Is there any area of your life that you're witnessing things being murdered or stolen or destroyed? These are the works of the enemy. Have you overcome them? No. Then we got to say, why? Has Jesus all of a sudden not been crucified for you? No, he has been crucified. Well, we have a part to play in it. Are you with me? We have a part to play in our life. Number one, we can overcome him by the word. I said number one, but that's not my first point. We overcome him by the word of God and by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Sometimes we just need to speak our testimony out to speak against the lies spoken in our ear by the enemy. Because you're hearing the enemy all the time. He's constantly discouraging you, constantly lying to you, constantly bringing up your past that's been washed in the blood. And what you need to hear in your ear is who God really is. Oh, you ain't never going to make it. Man, things aren't working out for me. Things aren't going to happen. Things are so hard. Why am I stuck in this job? Why am I stuck in blah, 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 blah? Sure am thankful that you delivered me, Jesus. Sure, I'm thankful that you're on my side. I remember that time I was discouraged and thought I wasn't going to make it, and you showed up right there at 2 in the morning. I remember when I didn't know how I was going to get a house, and you went ahead and you made a way for me. I remember when I thought I was not going to be able to pay my bills, and that mysterious check came in the mail out of nowhere. I'm just speaking. Now I'm hearing something. Come on, amen. Now I'm speaking something out that I need to hear. I'm just thinking about it right now. I remember there was a time that we were so broke. So I mean, there's lots of them, but I remember a time that we were so broke. Hear this. We were so broke. We didn't have no money. I didn't have a job, and there was a hurricane coming. And the hurricane was coming, and we had to evacuate our neighborhood. But by then, we didn't have enough money to put gas in the car to leave, let alone anywhere to go once we left. How you know? That's broke. Like, I got to stay in a hurricane because I don't have enough gas money to drive away. That is broke. And I got hired for a job, but I couldn't go and start working because they were closed because of the hurricane. How many of you know that's bad news? Are you ready for this? I went to the mailbox, and I got a letter in the mail. I got a check, and they said, you forgot to close this account 11 years ago when you lived in California. Here's a check in the mail. This is how broke we were. Okay, check this out. We were on food stamps. I'm not afraid to say, if you need food stamps, get you some, eat. I'm not mad at you. I am not mad at you. I'm not going to lie. But you know what? They're not stamps no more. They say you used to have that brown money and whatnot. This is a card. And we went to Publix. We're like, no, the computers are down. We can't take it. We're like, what? What? We can't. You know you're in a hard place. You can't even use food stamps. That's a bad place. So all the banks were closed in our area. And we found out there was banks open in West Palm. We're like, we got enough gas to get there, but not to get back. We needed to cash that check. So we're like, on faith. All right, we're just going to drive. Trust we can cash this check that I got in the middle of the hurricane. And so when I think like, man, you're not going to get no money. I'm like, man, God sent me a check in the mail during a hurricane. Talk about a bank account you forgot to close 11 years ago. My God comes through. My God comes through. I remember time and time and time again, I thought I wasn't going to have enough money, and just boom, out of nowhere, a check in the mail. Time and time and time again. I remember when we started this church, when we moved to Sunday mornings. You ready for this? We moved to Sunday mornings, and a friend of mine said, hey, I just want you to know, my church, we've had a really big offering, and we just wanted to sow a seed somewhere. Can we just sow this amount of money into your church? I'm like, well, praise God. Yeah, go ahead, you know. Because we're going to spend it because we're a church, not a savings and loan, right? Come on. And so he gave me that check. I put it in the bank, and I wasn't even thinking about stuff. In our very first lease payment, we don't get this for free. You know, some people think that it's a public school. We pay a lot of money for this, all right? And we pay for this. And our very first school we went to, we had to write a check, and we wrote them a check. It was way more than I thought it was going to be because I didn't realize, but it was like way more like, what we used to pay per week, like cost per hour. And I was like, whoa, oh, that's cool. That's a face step right there, God. And so we wrote them the check, and I looked at the bank account. And hear this. We had $1 left in our account after we paid that check. If that guy hadn't been obedient, just given us that offering, our very first rent check would have bounced. My God is able to pay bills. Amen. When God tells you to do something, he knows what he's telling you to do and what it will take to complete it. He understands what it will take to complete what he told you to do. And so I sit around like, oh, how am I going to pay for this? Like, man, I can just pull out the book of testimonies of how God has come through for me. I just pull out the, like, man, how's God going to make it? Oh, who's whispering that? I'll tell you how he's going to make it. He could send a check on an account I never actually had. He could just have somebody die that I wasn't actually related to. He can have just a friend give me money. Like, it's just, I had just seen money come out of nowhere. And so that's just like, how are we going to do it? I don't know, but God can do it. Amen? I just speak this testimony out. See, because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And some of you, yeah, you're going to make it to heaven, but you haven't overcome the enemy. And you'll do that with the word of your testimony. Amen? Now listen, the blood is his part. He already did that part. He worked on that. He got it figured out. Too many people are focusing on that part. We got to focus on our part. And our part is to partner with him and declare what he's done and release that into the atmosphere. See, your testimony releases the power of Jesus in your life. Hear me. It releases. Every time you tell the testimony of what God did, it's like you're bringing people right into that miraculous atmosphere and getting it on them. What do you think about it that way? When I just tell you the story, I don't have to tell you to do anything. I don't have to tell you that you're wicked and you got to. I'm just going to tell you what God did. And when I tell you what God did, that same miraculous atmosphere manifests right there. And I'm getting that person in that miraculous atmosphere. And it just gets on them. That's my part. My part is not to tell them, you know, why the cross is. No, yes, we tell people. My part is not to tell them how wicked they are. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit's job is to convict them of sin, not mine. My job is to tell them how awesome God is. How amazing God. That's all I got to do is tell people how amazing God is in my life. I'll use the Bible, but I tell you what, I don't need to. I don't need to go to this book to tell people how great God is. How about you? Has he done anything for you? Do you know anybody who might need what you've already gotten? See, God will bring people into your life who need what God's already given you. He'll just put them right in your life. And you'll just be talking to them and they'll be discouraged. And you have two options. You can be like, stupid sinner. Don't you know you need Jesus? Or you can say, man, I got what you need. Man, I got what you need. Listen to what God did for me. I just want to tell you what God did for me. I was just where you're at. And I said, God, and whatever. Just tell them a testimony. Just release that testimony on them. This is how we spread the kingdom. Like this, people don't need you being rude to them for God to love them. It's just really not necessary. I've done it plenty. You don't get a lot of friends that way. You just don't make a lot of friends. And when people are crying out for the prophets, you know, where are the prophets? Where are the prophets? They want Jeremiah to come and Ezekiel to come. This is not the day of Jeremiah and Ezekiel. This is the day of the Holy Ghost. This is the day of the Holy Spirit coming and convicting men to their sins. This is a job. This is a day of us edifying people. That's what the Bible has told us to do, to edify. He told us to give away God's goodness. That is our job. And God will then convict them of sin. I mean, there's counseling and we tell people about sin and we address sin and we believe that there is sin. But I just believe that God is more powerful than sin. I believe that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And we get to partake in that, not by putting Jesus back on the cross, but by telling people, hey, beyond the cross, there is an amazing life. On the other side of the cross, there's overcoming and joy and peace and love. And you're really, let me tell you how it's happened in my life. I don't need to tell you what to do. Let me just tell you what I did. And when you get so excited about that, I bet you'll want to come find out where to get it. Are you with me? So God will bring people into your life that need to hear your testimony. And it releases that power. It's the testimony of your overcoming. It'll release that power to destroy the works of the devil in other people's lives. And let me tell you this. When you're going through a hard time, God will bring people in your life going through the same thing, and you have a choice. What most people choose to do is have a familiar spirit come and complain about your season, thus entrenching that season. What I have found better is when you get people who come into your life in that same season, you begin to release the testimony of when you got through that season. You'll minister to them, and there's such a grace on that, it'll minister to you. It'll minister to you. You start telling people, man, I remember God brought me through this. You're like, I need him to bring me through it right now again. But I remember when God brought me through this thing. Oh, Jesus, believe in you for that spirit of breakthrough right now for me too. But it's true that you brought me through it. It's true that he brought me through it. It is not a lie. I need it again, but it's not a lie. He brought me through it. Come on, when you're broke and wondering how you're going to pay bills, you better tell some people about how God pays your bills in the past. You better meditate on what he's done and you'll see it happen again. You're bound to depression, you meditate on when he brought you out of depression. Man, it came back. I don't know how. I don't know either, but I know how to get out of it. You meditate on how he got you out of it. Because the truth is, you still have that in your life. You're just not walking in it. So your testimony is a seed. And you need to get that seed in the ground to get a harvest. Amen? JJ, come on up. I want to pray for you and let you go. I went a little long, but I'm happy about the outcome. Are you with me here? So listen, this week, say this week. This week you're going to share a breakthrough with somebody. And for some of you, this is going to be the new thing. Hear me. I'm not saying, you know, sign a card that you're going to invite 9 people to church. If that's all you could do, do that. You know, if the best thing, if where you're at in your faith is, if a new step for you is giving somebody an invitation card and saying, listen, I went to church and it changed my life. Awesome. Do that. Do it a lot. You know, if that's where you're at, do that. Do that. Do it more. Hey, God changed my life and I went to church. You ought to come. Do that. But if you can go beyond that, hey, you know, you're in the checkout line. It's amazing when you begin to walk in this that people just begin to confess to you stuff. You just be standing around, people say, yeah, you're waiting on an elevator. Yeah, you know, my car broke down. I don't know how I'm going to get to work. And I think my life is just over. We're in the elevator, right? Like, I don't know you. Like, that's funny. I remember when I didn't have a car and somebody gave one to me. You know, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. Stand with me. Father, I thank you that you are so very good and you want people to overcome. And Father, I pray today that people will take time to go back through their journals and they were just kind of take a little journey with you, Jesus, in the past and just begin to meditate on who you are in their life, who you've shown yourself to be in their lives, and that we would embrace what you've done in us. That we wouldn't say that was a one-time thing and it's over, but this is now who God is in my life. This is who God has shown himself to be in my life. Wow, I'm receiving it. I'm going to walk in it. Hallelujah. 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 I want to pray real quick. I've gone longer than I meant, but I just want to declare some things over you. Can I have my wife come up here? Hallelujah. 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 Robin, are you here? Keep calling up, Robin. Hallelujah. 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 Mike Carmo, are you in here? Come on up, I'm going to have you praise. Hallelujah. I'm going to have a couple people pray, and I just want you to receive whatever's for you. All right? And I just believe, I'm just contending for people for those who feel God has called you to have your own business, I just want to believe with you. Those of you who feel called to get married and you're single and you don't know who that's going to be yet, I just want to believe with you. God is going to do it. Those of you who are stuck renting or you're stuck with family members, I believe that you're going to buy a home. You're going to be a homeowner. And we're just going to pray that. I'm just going to pray that over you, by some people who've seen some breakthrough in this. Amen? All right? So however you receive, position yourself to receive.
Father, I just release hope and grace for the people that are desired to be married. I pray that you give them an assurance that you're working on their behalf, God, that you haven't forgotten about them. You haven't lost track of what you're doing in their lives, God, but everything that's happening right now is preparation for that holy marriage that you've called them to be a part of, God. I pray that you give them visions like you gave me visions, and you speak to them and you tell them that they're coming. They're coming soon. Get ready. They're coming. Be ready for it. And Father, I pray for the people that desire to have children, the married couples that are working towards having, creating a family, God. I pray that you give them hope that there's nothing wrong with them, Jesus. That you have called them to be mothers and fathers of holy children, of righteous children, of children that know your word, that speak your will, that dream dreams and have visions, God. I pray that you give them an assurance that that child is coming. It may not be in the time that they desire for it to be, but that you're preparing that child for them, Lord. And for anyone that's had issues with insurance or medical issues, God, and they're not able to see the fruit that's already within them, God, that you give them visions like you gave me visions of that my daughter is safe in your hands. And she's going to be a healthy baby, God, that there are healthy babies that just spring up from this house, God. In Jesus' name.
You praying? You receiving? You praying for the people around you? Hallelujah. I'm sorry. Father God, I just declare victory, Father, over anyone that is looking to open a business, Father, is in a process of opening a business, Father. We just declare favor, Father, prosperity, Lord. Father, that he may be the backbone to their business, Father. Father, you may be... The ability, Father, to become that person that they want to be, Father, and just do greatness, Father, under your word, Father, that their business, Father, may bring in lives, Father, and souls, Father, to be saved through that business, Father. We just declare, Father, favor, Father. The favor that you've put upon my life and upon my family, Father, upon Lucas's life, Lord, we just declare that over everyone in this room. Declare that over anyone in this room. Don't be scared. Oh.
You guys good?
I might be the wrong person to pray this, but I just got a word today. The good friends of mine have papers that they get to work legally and get insurance and whatnot. So, Father, we just release that right now. Father, we thank you that you're in the neighborhood and you're doing this for people, Jesus. And every person who needs papers and residency or whatever, however all that works, you are well able, Jesus. You are well able. So who wants to own a home?
Father, I thank you that you know the desires of our heart, Father. I thank you that you are a provider. And I declare for every person that wishes to own a home, to own a house, Father, I thank you that you are a God of miracles, that you bring money from out of nowhere, that you bring favor from out of nowhere. Father, I thank you that you have the Holy Ghost hookup, that you bring beautiful homes that people can purchase for less than they're worth. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, that you provide, I just declare, open doors of opportunity, divine appointments with realtors, divine appointments with mortgage brokers, Father. I thank you, Father, for a favor that you would just pour out. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Down payments, Father, that money would come. I declare inheritances over people. I declare checks in the mail, favor. Father, I thank you that you, what you've done in our life, that you opened a door that we can have an open home, Father, that we can be hospitable and bring people in and have people in our home, Father. I thank you that that's the desire of so many people. And Father, I just declare favor in home buying, favor in finding a home, favor in the money that it takes, Father, favor. I just declare your blessing over every person in this room, that we would see homes over and over again, homes bought, homes owned, in Jesus' name.
And I want to pray for every person who feels called to ministry and you feel like things aren't moving and or you got shipwrecked. Father, I thank you that you redeem all these things when it looks like the path is not going in the right direction and it looks like the path is dim Father, I thank you that you are the one who called these people. They weren't called by man. They were called by you, and you know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. And surely you will complete that which you began in them. Lord, I thank you that they're in your hand and that, Jesus, you are walking among the lampstands. So, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, it will be settled in their heart that you're going to do it. We declare favor on their lives in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen. Now, let me pray for you. Father, yeah, let's give it up. Thank you, Jesus, that you heard every one of these prayers and you're doing it. And Father, I pray for these this week that they would go and they would share the testimony, that they would be expectant. They would be expectant that you're going to bring people in their paths who need to hear parts of what you've done in their life. That they will give away hope this week. That they will be carriers of hope this week. They will be restorers of hope this week. In Jesus' name. Now listen, last but not least, there's people in this room I know you need to get right with God. That you're just not walking with God. And there's some problems and you need to get right. And I don't want you to leave today until you get that eternal hope in your life. So I'm going to ask my directors to come forward, if you would please. My ministry team directors, if you would come forward. These good-looking people. Corey, just come on. There you go. Come on forward. Stand on over here, if you would. Lillian, where are you at? I've lost Lillian, but she'll be here soon. Oh, she's right here. Hi, Lillian. We haven't lost you yet. No, you're good. Stay there. Listen. Josh, we come on forward too if you're able. Listen, there's people who need to get right with God, and here's your opportunity. Additionally, there's people that God wants to heal today. There's people who God wants to heal emotionally that you need your hope restored, and these people are going to just quickly pray for you. And if you need to get right with God, they're going to pray for you. It's that simple, okay? So, Father, bless them this week in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. So just make your way on forward. If you need prayer, you can meet you at the Next Steps table. If you need, if you're a guest, we'd love to meet you. Amen. Go love Jesus. Hallelujah.